So I thought what I would do today is start with the readings, reflect on the scripture, and then I'll end up with some mission stories to lead into the mission appeal, okay? Before I forget, if you're writing a check, please write it to St. Mary's. You can put in the memo Mary note. Don't write to Father Brian. Well, yeah, no, don't write to Father Brian or to Mary note. St. Mary's with Mary note in the memo. In today's first reading, the prophet Elijah from 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah is on the mountain and searching for the Lord. And we hear that there's a strong wind, but the Lord was not there. There was an earthquake, but the Lord was not there. There was fire, but the Lord was not there. And then there was a whispering quiet, and the prophet covered his face and went to the front of the cave, for the Lord was there. In the gospel reading, which is a continuation from last week's gospel, begins with after having fed the crowd, Jesus sent the disciples ahead of him while he dispersed the crowd. And then we're told he went alone to pray. It was night, he was alone, and he was praying. Meanwhile, the disciples are in the boat, and the boat's being tossed around on the sea. Jesus goes towards them. They see something coming, they're afraid. But he says, "Don't be afraid." And that voice gives them some calm. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And so he says, "Come." And Peter begins to walk on the water, focused on Jesus, no problem. Because when you're focused on Jesus, there are no problems. And then suddenly he starts thinking about the waves and the wind, and he starts to sink, and he calls out to the Lord to help him. And the Lord does. They get in the boat. The wind is calmed. And they're all impressed by what happened. If you look, for me, the theme in these readings today is the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer in our lives. So often, we want the Lord to help us. We want the Lord to help us, but sometimes we just don't know how to go about it. And in a world that becomes noisier and noisier, we forget that the great apostle Elijah found him in the whispering sound. Not in the earthquake, not in the fire, not in the roaring wind, but in the quiet whisper. There it's easy to find the Lord. Now, most of my life has been spent overseas in mission, I'm presently the rector of the seminary in Chicago. And we just started the novitiate class. So the novices, as they start their novitiate year, we took away all their social media. Well, there was a combination of earthquake, fire, wind when that happened. And then the next day, we took away their phones. They can only use their phones after Mass on Saturday morning until evening prayer on Sunday night. Well, how could you find anything in Chicago without GPS? They want the noise. But I go back to my own novitiate, and I remember, how maybe at the time it was somewhat tedious, but how I, in learning to pray during those years as a novice, how it helped me for the rest of my missionary life until today. Things I learned back then have benefited me until today. And I think for all of us, sometimes we're like Peter, where we want to pray, but we take our eyes off the Lord. We lose focus, and then we just kind of struggle with the things that are happening around us. If I said to all of you right now, I said this to my novices, so I'll say it to you. If you think you pray too much, please stand up. Now, the novices kind of look at each other. Are we supposed to stand? Or they're not sure. But if I say, who like me could use a little more time of prayer each week, raise your hand. We realize that, okay? So sometimes it's just a matter of, well, what we know we need to pray more, we want to pray more, but what do we do to achieve it? You know, there's different things. I always say the good thing is the quiet for prayer, you know? Sunday Mass, we like that beautiful music, but sometimes during the week, we just gotta get away in the quiet of our room or by ourselves and spend some time with the Lord. So I often advise, put a little note next to your bed with the word prayer. And when you wake up in the morning, give thanks to God for a new day. Give thanks to God for a new day and ask God's blessings on you throughout this day. And then at the end of the day, when you're getting ready to go to bed again, you see the sign prayer. Take a little time to do an examination of conscience and examine. And say, Lord, you know, today I missed the mark on this and this, and I'm sorry. Forgive me and help me tomorrow. But Lord, I also did some pretty good things today, you know, and I want to share those with you because I know it was because you were with me, your spirit was with me, I was able to do it. And then sleep and wake up tomorrow and repeat the cycle. And we become people of prayer. More and more we pray. And that's really the you know, in today's world where there's so much that can trouble us, in a world that seems so polarized, you know, let us be focused on the Lord and be united at least in that, you know, that we need the Lord, all of us. All of us need the Lord, and we need to grow closer to the Lord. And we admit it. We admitted it by raising our hands that we need to pray a little bit more. So let me go into the mission appeal. And if the mission appeal isn't a good one, then you can say, well, at least we talked about prayer in church today, okay? So, I mean, I feel really blessed. I've been a priest for 42 years, in a Maryknoll for 48 years. I entered right after college. I went to the novitiate, spent a year learning to pray and to be quiet. And then when the rest of my classmates started their theology studies in New York, the Superior General asked me and one of my classmates to go to Tanzania to study theology in the National Seminary in Tanzania, learn Swahili, and study theology in Tanzania. And so that's where I started. I started my mission career. And I was there 3 years, ordained, and then the next 10 years as a young priest I was in Tanzania. My next mission was China, where I was the last 24 years teaching medical ethics at the Jilin Medical University and serving as the spiritual director for the seminary there in Jilin. Both wonderful experiences. My experience in Tanzania as a young priest was mostly to build a polytechnic trade school and to get it started and to bring it along. And so the one story I'd like to tell you from Tanzania is about that school and one of the students. His name was Chuwali. So as I was getting the school started, we had the buildings up, we were looking for students. A lot of Tanzanian parents were hesitant, especially to send their daughters, but even their sons, maybe new education they didn't want. But this one kid comes to me, his name was Chuwali Mwita, and he says, I want to study in your school, but my father doesn't want to pay for it. And I said, well, why doesn't your father want to pay for it? And he says, because he thinks you should pay for it. So we had the one of the first students was a full ride, okay? He was a full ride, no football playing or anything like that. He was just going to learn to be a carpenter. So he's studying there for about a year, and he comes to me and he says, Father, I want to join the catechumenate. I want to get baptized. I said, that's great. That's great, Chuwali. But my dad doesn't want me to. So I saw his father came and said, no. I said, he wants to. He said, okay, let him study, but don't baptize him. So he studied, and he was studying his trade as a carpenter. He was studying to be baptized. And pretty close to graduation time, he's going to be baptized at Easter and graduate 2 months, 3 months later. So it comes time for his baptism. I said, you know, your dad said no. He said, I don't care what my dad says. I'm going to be baptized. So I said, great. So a couple days later, he comes in. And I said, what name have you chosen, Chuali, for your baptismal name? He says, I've chosen Chuali. And I said, well, how about like a John, Peter, Mark, maybe a Brian, you know, something like that there. We have a patron saint there. He goes, no. If I'm not baptized Chuali, how would there ever be a Saint Chuali? So I said, okay, we baptized him Chuali. Okay, I'm sure he's the first, and I'm sure he's the only Chuali in the baptismal registry at the parish. But he was baptized, he graduated, and he got married. Not long after, you know, he graduated, he was bit by a snake. And it was poorly treated in the hour after the bite, and he died. Chuali died, you know. And I mean, we had the funeral and stuff like that. And about a number of months later, less than a year, his father came to see me. And his father said, Padre, I want to be baptized. I said, what? Well, that's amazing. I said, you didn't want Chuali to be baptized. He said, I know, but I want to be baptized because I liked what Chuali became. You know, he really touched me. And so Chuali was his father and mother, and I think it was the whole family were baptized. And I tell the story because it's on the top of my, it's in my heart right now, because the last 2 months I was in Africa visiting the families of my seminarians, and I was able to go back to my old mission. First time back in 33 years. And Chuali's son, his wife was pregnant when he died, his son was there. I met him. He's a university graduate and a government official in the district, you know. So the change in a family and stuff like that, the one person in the thing takes on. Then my China story that I like to share, and the China story is more related to today's gospel, is together with teaching at the medical university, I was also in charge of the Chinese Hansen disease patients program. So we had, Mary Knoll had 13 leprosariums, villages where we treated patients. And so I was in the advantageous position of being in a medical university and running these leprosariums. So I would always, every year, three times a year, sometimes four, take nursing and medical students to the leprosariums for wound treatment. And the students loved it. The competition to go was incredible. They wanted to be part of it, you know, which made me so happy. But I remember the last time I went, I had an incredible group of students. And second or third to the last day we were there, they came to me, they said, Father Brian, Wang Shenfu was my Chinese name, Wang Shenfu, we want to take all the patients out to dinner tonight at one of the local restaurants. And I said, you know, local restaurants are not going to be, you know, happy about something like that. And they said, we'll take care of everything. We'll pay for it. We'll make the arrangements. We just want you to say, yes, we can do it. So I said, okay, you can do it. They made all the arrangements. That evening, we're at this restaurant, and there was all the Hansen disease patients were there. All the students were ready to help the ones who needed help with the meal and stuff like that. There were four round tables. Each table was just loaded with food. And up comes Father Brian and says, wow, this is great, let's eat. Get my chopsticks. And one of the Hansen disease patients says, Shenfu, woman yin gai chi dao. Father, shouldn't we first pray? I said, oh, yes, we should. And I say that I want to tell the story to you because, you know, the whole thing about praying, yeah, we do it in the quiet of our home. But as missionary disciples, We can be witnesses to the gospel by doing it when we pray in the restaurant. You know, a family that prays together in a restaurant, I assure you, does not go unnoticed. And it's a witness. And that patient was a witness to me, you know, to... Yeah, it's easy to be all excited about the patients being out for dinner and forget the important thing of saying grace before the meal. So I share those two stories with you as kind of a testimony of how mission works, you know, and how not only do we bring the good news, but the good news is brought to us, you know. And we are today more than ever, I'm sure, in a world where every place is mission territory. Every place is mission territory. And Pope Francis liked to say, you know, we're missionary disciples. Call ourselves missionary disciples. Following Christ and by living the gospel message, bringing the gospel message to others. So after communion, there's a second collection. I ask you to be generous. Again, don't put Brian on the check. Put St. Mary's. And in the memo, you can put Mary Knoll. I thank you in advance for your generosity in the second collection. But I also thank you because I know so many of you have given in the past and have supported the missions in the past. So I thank you for that. Share you one humorous tale. Last night, when I was entering Mary Knoll, it was very common for people to say, the Mary Knoll magazine was always on my grandma's coffee table, or is always on the coffee table in our house. Well, last night, one of the ladies was leaving, and she said, Father, I want you to know the Mary Knoll magazine was always in our bathroom. So I'm going to share that story when I go back. But anyway, whether it's in the bathroom or on the coffee table, it is on the table in the back, and I ask you to take a copy with you. So you can learn a little bit more about the work of the missions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us now stand and together.